We're smack dab starting the new year, and many of my friends, neighbors, associates, and the like, they're all in when it comes to their New Year's resolutions and fitness. Like one of my friends, Archie. He's going to lose 75 pounds. He said he's going to quit eating junk food. He's going to go to the gym every day. You go, Archie. Well, he said he's going to lose 75 pounds, but he would settle for 50. And actually, 25 wouldn't be too bad, and 10's okay, too. And he's going to eat better. He's not going to give up all his junk food. And he'll probably have a couple cheat days a week, but he will try to eat a little better. And the truth is, it doesn't matter because he's going to the gym every day. Unless it's like super cold out, or he needs some sleep, or maybe he's just sore from the day before. You know, sometimes he just isn't feeling it either, but he is set. He's doing it. He is going to change his life forever. Most likely, probably, hopefully. Hey, don't hold your breath. This was a long intro, but it's probably not going to happen. Wake the faith up, killer. How you doing, everybody? Garth Heckman, thanks for reaching out to me at thedavidalliance.com and my email, tdagiantslayer@gmail.com. Also, if you need a website, check out Tony Herman's company, Webstix, W-E-B-S-T-I-X.com. Coolest cat on the net. His company is amazing. Make sure you check it out. It's the new year. How many of you set New Year's resolutions? I did. Dad, if you're listening, I will get those to you this week, I promise. My dad and I, we do that every year. We swap New Year's resolutions and goals and things like that. And sorry, I digress. We had a very long intro. But I'm not going to go into explaining the nuance of it because I think you'll get it as we go through today's podcast. Let me start up by saying this. Okay, ready? I was a youth pastor for 20 plus years, and I have seen too many teenagers as a youth pastor storm the altar at a camp or a retreat and give their lives to Christ. They're down there raising their hands and crying and singing and praying and blowing snot all over their face, and they're going to serve God forever. And then later that night, I pull them out of the bushes with their pants down with one of the girls. What's up with that? Or should I say, what's down with that? But to be fair, I've met plenty of people, men, with the same teeter-totter experience. They give their lives to Christ, and they still live like someone who's lost. Now, before we talk about grace and forgiveness and no one's perfect, Garth, well, let's look at 1 John 5, and I'm only going to read the first five verses, but all 21 verses will punch you in the face, so make sure you take some time today to read them. John says, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this love for God, to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God." I love how he slips in there that people will know that we're children of God by how we love his children. Have you been on social media lately? Man, I'm just about ready to just cancel all my social media. It's just, Facebook is definitely going within the next couple days. I mean, I've been trying to post TDA stuff on there, but I just can't get over how you can post "I love puppies" and people tear it into pieces. People who call themselves Christians. Who, you know, oh yeah, well, puppies don't like Black Lives Matter, and they cut down trees, and I've seen puppies pee on trees. How can you like puppies? I know a puppy that bit a guy, and he was black. Okay, I get it. You've been wounded somehow, and you've got your cause, but we're called to love people. I love everyone. I really do. Even if you tear one of my posts apart and yell and scream, and it happened again yesterday, whew. Talk about take a left turn. But here's the deal. As Christians, we love everyone. I'm getting off course here, but anyway. Look, I guess my heart for those of you listening today is not to be perfect, but to be grieved. What do I mean by being grieved? Well, when you are truly walking with God, you sin less and less, and you get older in Christ, and it becomes more apparent. But even more than that, you grieve harder and harder when you do sin. Look, I'm not going to lie to you. When I was younger, I could mess up, say things, look at things, do things. They were just plain sin. And I knew they were sin, and it would bother me, and over time I would confess and repent, and I'd move forward. Thank you, God, for your grace. That's just not the way it is anymore for me. When I sin, now I grieve. I have a deep, throbbing pain. It's like a wound inside, maybe even worse, because I know that the pain is there because I wounded God, which in turn makes me feel the pain as well. I used to play hockey as a very, very young kid, and I would play once in a while. And as I grew up, and when my boys got older, we'd go out and skate. I'd skate with them once in a while, and you know, when I was young, I loved knocking people over. A good hip check was like a high. And after a few minutes, or if the person maybe got hurt right away, I'd, you know, not feel as good about it. And I'd at some point probably say, oh, I'm sorry. And I'd kind of mean it. Now if I'm out on the ice and I just accidentally knock into someone and hurt them, especially if it's a young kid, I feel devastated. I can't say I'm sorry enough. I feel like quitting the game. I literally hurt inside because I hurt them. Where am I going? If you are serious about really giving your life to Christ, I would say you should be feeling the grief of sinning more and more, but it should be less and less sin. Or maybe, hold on, maybe you really didn't give your life to Christ. Maybe you gave your life to the idea of being a Christian, but not actually dying to self. There's the rub. Jesus said, pick up your cross daily and follow me. You know, the cross is pain. We feel sin because of the cross. So maybe we have a hard time loving others the way God loved them. Maybe we have a hard time dealing with sin. Maybe we justify it. Maybe we're not picking up our cross. Just imagine, if you will, a cross in your bedroom. You get up tomorrow morning and you see it there. Now, carrying a cross to work is pretty humbling for most of us, but you get to choose whether or not you pick it up. That's what John said in chapter 5. And let's be honest, we can carry it to small group Bible study, we can carry it to church, and even once in a while in the car. But every day? Carry the cross every day. And therein lies the cost. It's not always the picking it up, it's the picking it up every day, in every situation. Thank God that John gives us a hint of how to do this. Pick up your cross, you know, that pick up your cross thing. He says this, it's easy for those who love God. Why not ask God to help you fall deeply in love with Him and experience His love like for the very first time? It's not a burden when you are in love with Him. I'll never forget the second date with my wife. We were in a movie, sitting there in the theater, and she realized she forgot her purse in my car. I said, oh, I'll go get it, no problem. I parked about 300 cars away, and it was raining. Strike that. It was pouring. Okay, strike that. I had to swim out to my car. I came back into the movie, and I was freezing cold. I was drenched as if I'd jumped into a swimming pool. But was it a burden? No, it was love. There were times in our marriage it was a burden, but I kept loving her, I kept serving her, and now more than ever, I'm farther in love with her than ever before. And now the honest truth is, if she asks me to do something for her, and I don't, it only takes a few minutes, and I feel bad. They're like, ah, I just said no to my bride. I just said no to the one I chose to love the rest of my life. Good, bad, poor, rich, you know, and I turn around and I apologize and I go do it for her because I'm in love with her. Happens less and less, but the pain hurts more and more. Ask God for the same journey. He will in fact help you fall in love with Him. If you doubt me, read Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 through 21. And until then, keep slaying giants.